many of the bills being proposed across the U.S. to bar transgender athletes from competing in women's sports would require all female athletes to verify their gender through chromosome testing, androgen testing, or even genital examinations. All three have been deployed at the Olympic level throughout history, affecting cisgender women and another part of the LGBTQ community, intersex women who are assigned female at birth, but who have characteristics that don't fit into the prescribed notion of what it means to be female. Concerns about gender in the Olympics began shortly after women competed in track and field events for the first time at the 1928 Games, according to UNC history professor Matthew Andrews.
There started to be arguments made that female athletes should have to have their gender identity verified. There was a fear that the nations had men masquerading as women.
Starting in 1948, the International Olympic Committee required each female competitor to submit a doctor's note verifying her gender. 16 years later, Cold War-era concerns led to a new policy. Each woman would have their genitals examined in a quote-unquote nude parade, which University of Lynchburg professor Lindsay Piper described as harmful to athletes.
It's humiliating, it's traumatizing, it's invasive. There are accounts from athletes who talk about the nude parade being the most crude and degrading experiences of their life.
The IOC abandoned the nude parades for the 1968 Games and switched to a chromosome test. Athletes had to have XX chromosomes to be considered women. Maria Jose Martinez Patino, an intersex woman, failed the test in 1986 and was forever shaken by the incident.
She likened it into a piece to rape, that it was very much akin to being raped, but also that it was done on an international level because she was publicly scrutinized, vilified, criminalized in the international press. So it was severe, traumatic, and horrific.
After the discontinuation of chromosome testing in 1999, the IOC moved to suspicion-based hormone testing. Most notably affected by this policy is Castor Semenya, an intersex woman whose results showed a naturally high level of testosterone. Too high in the eyes of the IOC, World Athletics, and her peers. British sprinter Lindsay Sharp finished behind Semenya at the 2016 Olympics. Before the Games, she said, quote, "Everyone can see it's two separate races, so there's nothing I can do," unquote. Former Team USA runner Phoebe Wright told Let'sRun.com in 2019, quote, "In regular life, I'd go to bat for Castor to have every single right. But on the track, we need to have a clear, objective definition of woman," unquote. Piper says the debate has led to the reintroduction of gender verification in sport.
So much of what has been kind of thrown at her, what she's been accused of, just resonates with this long history of women who are too fast, too strong, and don't look a certain way, are targeted by these tests.
After Semenya won the 800-meter gold at the 2016 Olympics, World Athletics banned her from competing in distances between 400 meters and 1 mile in the hopes of eliminating any advantage she might have from high testosterone levels. Semenya appealed the ban to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, which upheld the ruling in 2019.
We're faced with this perverse situation that if she wants to compete as female, as the gender that she has identified as her entire life, she needs to dope. She needs to take drugs and artificially change her body's composition. And she's not willing to do that.
Semenya is appealing her case to the European Court of Human Rights. She is also preparing to run the 200 meters in Tokyo this summer. For UNC Media Hub, I'm Dominic Ferrara.